Well, I really do find it a privilege to be able to share with you tonight here at the Tulsa Dream Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we've done a lot of work there at the Salvation Army on North Denver. Some of you might remember us. And so Phil Brown asked me to substitute tonight. Tonight's message, tonight's cell group is on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the prophets foretold Jesus' first and second coming. Jesus also talked about his return. And if it was important to Jesus, it should be important to us. It's time to raise our level of importance to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that Jesus Christ came the first time 2,000 years ago, right? He came as a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem, right? And every year we celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ, and that celebration is called what? It's called Christmas, right? The coming of Jesus the first time into this world. When Jesus came into this world, he was God in human flesh. He was God the Son. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is good all the time. And the Word of God tells us in Acts 10:38, when Jesus began his ministry. See, Jesus was born as a baby. As a young boy, he was in the temple. And he was just kind of amazing, the teachers of the law, because he had such great knowledge. Well, he was God, God the Son, in human flesh. And when he was 30 years old, he was baptized in the Jordan River. That's when his ministry began. And the Word of God says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. You see, when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, he went about doing good. What are some of the good things that Jesus did? For instance, remember the two blind men that came to Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. They said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Do you believe that I'm able to heal you?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And immediately their sight was restored. Jesus went about doing good. Remember when he met a widow woman in Luke chapter 7? Her only son had died, so she was without husband and without child. So Jesus went to the woman. He said, "Woman, don't cry." He went to the coffin and said to the young man, "I tell you, arise." And the young boy came back to life. You see, when Jesus met the demon-possessed, what did he do? He cast the devils out of those people. So we agree that when Jesus walked this earth, he went about doing what? He went about doing good things. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1. Jesus ministered for 3 years, from age 30 to 33. The greatest point in his ministry came when he was what? When he was crucified upon a cross. Right? He was crucified. He was buried, but 3 days later, he rose again. Amen? And that's what Easter is all about. And this coming Sunday, this next Sunday, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Now, when Jesus rose from the grave, he was on this earth for 50 days. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is what Jesus says. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. These two men dressed in white were angels. And these angels said, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." They said, "This Jesus who was taken up from you will come back in the same way that he was taken up." He was taken up into the sky, into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. And when Jesus comes back, he is going to split the eastern sky. And he's going to take his church up. Amen? Jesus is coming a second time, friends. The question tonight is, are you ready? Let's look at Revelation chapter 22. John on the island of Patmos received this revelation from God. And he writes in chapter 22. Three times we read it. Verse number 7. Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Second time, verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Third time, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Friends, the return of Jesus Christ is very soon. It is very soon. Are you eagerly awaiting the second return of Jesus Christ back to this earth? I'll give you a personal illustration here. When I was a young boy, I was very close to my mom. Second and third grade, she would bring me to school, right? And I was just really close to her. And all day in school, I would be eagerly awaiting, anticipating my mom's return, her picking me up from school. Every day, anxiously. And I was just awaiting when the teachers would let us out at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So when they let us out at 2:30 or 3, I'd stand on the sidewalk waiting for my mom's return. You know, waiting for her to come down that street or drive down that street. And sometimes she was a few minutes late. And I'd get a little nervous. When is she coming? But when I saw her walking down that street or driving down that street, it brought peace to my heart. I was awaiting my mom's return. And you may have had somebody in your life when you were younger that you really loved. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was an uncle. Maybe it was an aunt. Maybe a brother. Maybe a sister that you really loved. And they visited you every so often. And you were excited when they visited you. And then they had to leave. But they assured you, I'm coming back. I am returning to visit you again next year or in 2 years. And you eagerly awaited that loved one's return. The question tonight, friends, is this. Are you eagerly awaiting the second return of Jesus Christ to this earth? It can be any day. It could be any week. It could be any month, friends. Are you ready? You know, the disciples had some questions for Jesus about the end times. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 1. Three questions in verse 3 we're going to concentrate on. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things, he asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? When will what happen? When will the stones be thrown down? When will the temple be destroyed? And number 2, what will be the sign of your coming? Question number 3, and what will be the sign of the end of the age? The first question was, when will this happen? When will this temple be torn down? It happened in 70 AD with the Roman army. They came into Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. And then Jesus says some more things about the end times. Look at verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming, I am the Christ. In the last days, people will say, I am Jesus Christ. Several months ago, I met a man at a homeless shelter, and he said to me, I'm Jesus Christ. I was like, yeah, right. There's only one Jesus Christ, and he's in heaven right now. There's a leader in India, a Hindu leader, who claims that he is the reincarnated Christ. But you know what? He's not. There's only one Christ, and it's Jesus, God the Son. And there's people claiming today around the world that they are the Christ. This is pointing that we are in the last days, my friends. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Right now, we're kind of in a war on terror, right? It's kind of a cold war here in the United States against terrorism. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We see nations fighting against nations. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Earthquakes, the tsunami that occurred in Asia back in December of 2005. How many remember that? All these are the beginning of birth pains. Verse 9, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and be put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Verse 10, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. We see this in the world today. The love of many growing cold. What does this mean? When you love someone, you're reaching out to them. When you love them with the love of God, you want to help meet their needs. But in America and around the world, we see that people are looking out for themselves and not for others. Their love is growing cold. They're becoming more and more selfish. The root of it is sin, friends. The love of many grown cold. Verse 13. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Verse 14. The strongest sign of the end times. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to some nations? Some nations? Is that what it says? No, it says all nations. This word all in the original language means all. Now this word nations, means what? It's ethnos in the original language. Ethnos means ethnic group. Now, if you go to China, there's many ethnic groups in China. An ethnic group is a group that has its own language, its own form of dress, its own way of thinking, its own distinguishing mark. If you go to the nation of India, there's hundreds of ethnic groups in India. In the United States, here in America, friends, there's many ethnic groups, even here in Tulsa. People who dress a certain way and they're grouped together. They think a certain way, they're grouped together. You know, they eat a certain kind of food. They've got a certain distinguishing mark. And the Word of God says that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to every nation, to every ethnic group, and then the end will come. And friends, this responsibility is yours and mine. And you might be thinking tonight, well, you know what? I'm in such great need myself. How can I preach the gospel to somebody else when I'm in need? Friends, you know, a lot of you tonight are coming from the Day Center, the Salvation Army, John 3:16. Friends, we have a roof over our head. There's somebody out there tonight in greater need than us. There's somebody out there tonight sleeping under a bridge. There's somebody out there tonight sleeping on a street corner. There's somebody out there tonight sleeping in a tent. They're in greater need than us. And we can reach out to them. You might be saying, well, I don't know the words to speak. Well, the gospel can be spoken, but you can also demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ through kind deeds. Tell that person God loves you. Buy them a cup of coffee. Give them a blanket. Help the person who has a flat tire change that tire. They will see Jesus in our actions as well as our words. If we reach out in action with the love of Christ, they'll be more apt to listen to the gospel words, to the words that come out of our mouth. You agree with that? And if we reach the people God is calling us to reach, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and the end will come. But we've got to do our part, friends. I've got to do my part. I'm preaching the gospel tonight. I'm doing my part. You've got a part to play in the kingdom of God, to reach out to somebody who is in greater need than you. You agree with that? If you agree with that tonight, say amen. Amen. All right. Other signs of the end times. Peter writes about some other signs of the end times. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" These mockers. "Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." Verse 5. "But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed." Verse 7. "By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." See, friends, these scoffers and mockers will come in the last days, and they will willfully forget creation and the flood of Noah's time. These mockers are what? They're godless. Their faith in God is very weak. By willfully forgetting the judgment of sin during the flood, these people choose to forget that there will be judgment for their sin. Now, guys, let's think back to Noah's time. How many remember the story of Noah in Genesis? God told Noah, "Build an ark, Noah, because I am bringing a flood on this land." So Noah began to build an ark, right? And people thought that Noah was crazy. They said, "Noah, you're crazy. Noah, you are a nutcase. Why are you building this monster of an ark?" He said, "Because there's a flood coming." And they didn't believe him. So the flood came. Noah, his family, and the animals were saved. But the mockers and the scoffers, those who did not believe, were destroyed in the flood. What was the sin of the people in Noah's time? Think about it. It was the sin of unbelief. And what was the judgment for that sin? It was physical death. In these last days, there's mockers similar to the ones in Noah's time. And they're saying kind of the same thing. Like they were saying in Noah's time, "The flood is not coming. The flood is not coming." Today, people are saying, "Well, Jesus is not coming again. Jesus is not coming again for the second time." They're mocking. They're scoffing. They're making fun of the Word of God, because the Word of God says Jesus is coming a second time. So they're saying, "He's not coming. He's not coming." What is their sin of the mockers of these last days? It's the sin of unbelief, not believing that Jesus is coming a second time. And what will be the judgment for that sin? It will be eternal death. The loss of their lives eternally. And friends, tonight, you may be dealing with this. In your mind, you may have been thinking, "Well, when is Jesus coming back? Is he really going to come back?" I'm here to encourage you tonight, friends, that the second coming of Christ is very near. He is coming again.
Amen.
And do not kid yourself about it. He is coming back again, friends. You've got to build your faith up in this area. It could be any day. It could be any week. It could be any month. The question is this: are you ready? When is he coming? When is he coming? Friends, he is coming. And Peter gives us a word of encouragement. If you're struggling with that thought tonight, is Jesus coming again? When is he coming? Let's look at 2 Peter 3:8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Remember, the New Testament was written almost 2,000 years ago, right? So you might be thinking tonight, "Well, you know, it's been thousands of years since the New Testament scriptures were penned, and he still hasn't come." To us, 2,000 years is a long time, right? But what does Peter say? He says that to God, 1,000 years is like a day. So though it's been 2,000 years to us, to God, it's been like 2 days, right? So God is warning us tonight. He's brought me to encourage you tonight that He is coming again, and it's very, very soon. Are you ready for the second coming of Christ? Well, look at what Peter writes in 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. The coming of the Lord will be like a thief in the night. Now, don't misunderstand what Peter is saying here. God is not a thief. Jesus is not a thief, and the Holy Spirit is not a thief. But what he's saying is this, is that let's say a family takes a vacation, right? And they leave their house. They leave the lights off, and there's a thief in the neighborhood. He comes night after night to inspect, to spy this house. And he figures, you know what? There's nobody at the house. So one evening at 1 o'clock in the morning, he breaks in and steals the family's goods. Unexpectedly, this family lost their goods. Friends, the coming of Jesus will be so sudden. It will be unexpected in a sense. You've got to be watching for the coming of Christ. Are you ready? Are you standing guard? Are you standing watch for the second return of Jesus Christ? You might be asking tonight, well, how do I get ready for the second return of Christ? How do you get ready for the second return of Christ? Number one, make Jesus your Savior. Number two, make Jesus your Lord. Lord means master and ruler. Make Jesus ruler of every part of your life. That Jesus would be the one that rules your thoughts, the one that rules what you do with your body, and the one who rules what you do with your spirit. If you're following Jesus, and Jesus is in charge of your life, when He appears, guess what? You're going up into heaven with Him, amen? At the rapture of the church, you'll be with Jesus flying into heaven, amen? Are you ready? As an illustration, let's say, before you came to this meeting tonight, you found out that everybody who comes to the Tulsa Dream Center meeting on Monday night is gonna have a meeting with Bill Gates. He's gonna be there Monday night, March. What is tonight? 17th. I think it's March 17th. Everybody who comes to the Tulsa Dream Center on Monday night will have a meeting with Bill Gates, and he's gonna give $500 to every person who shows up. And you guys are here sitting, right? And Bill Gates is not here, and all at once you're eagerly anticipating his appearing, right? To come into the room, and he shows up, and you guys are excited. Well, guys, someone in the house tonight is here greater than Bill Gates, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you eagerly awaiting His return for you? Does that make sense? All right, He's coming back, friends, and